This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yes, indeedy. Welcome in a game day edition of the Burgundy and Gold today right here on the Team 980. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app. Linnell Willingham, Anthony Haney taking you up to 6:30 before myself and Denton Day get you warmed up for Bears and Commanders with the Burgundy and Gold pregame show. Number to call us, 301-230-0980. If you want to keep the conversation going with me on social media, it is at N-E-L-L underscore B-T-B. B-T-P, I almost did a Rick Doc Walker with that one. B-T-P is the handle on social media. Washington with a big-time opportunity tonight, man. Big-time opportunity to get off of this roller coaster versus the Chicago Bears. And the reason I'm talking about this team in terms of a roller coaster, it's the word that they have used internally to describe the start of their season. It's the word that we have used in the media. Washington, throughout the first 5 weeks of the season, 1-1, lost one, 1-1, lost one, 1-1. Now we're at a spot where tonight they had the chance to put a winning streak together for the first time this year. And it is not going to be easy for the Washington Commanders. They do that against Ben Johnson and the Chicago Bears coming off of a bye. And we haven't talked about this a lot in preparation for this game, but the fact that Chicago is coming off of a bye definitely is kind of like a feather in their cap, so to speak. I definitely don't feel easy about that because I know they're a group that's going to be well prepared. Their group that's going to be ready for everything that Washington has to throw at them. And when you get extra time to prepare for an opponent, especially against Washington, I think you got to take advantage of it. When you think about how multiple Washington has been with their rushing attack, how versatile they've been with their rushing attack, when you give a group 2 weeks to prepare for it, may not be as impactful. We'll see, though, because that is who Washington has been all season long throughout the first 5 weeks of this thing. Exotic smash mouth football, punching people in the mouth, kicking ass, taking names. Will they be able to continue that tonight in primetime at home against the Chicago Bears? It's going to be a little bit of a messy weather situation tonight. I don't know if that bothers folks out there. I'm looking at my weather app right now on the old iPhone. The weather at kickoff. Let's look up Landover, Maryland here first. The weather at kickoff, you're expected to get some light drizzles. 60% showers is what we're talking about here. So it probably is going to be a little wet come kickoff time. And looking at the schedule, or looking at the forecast, it's supposed to rain, drizzle, however you want to call it, throughout the entirety of this game. So when I think of that, in the olden days, 27. Back in the day, though, when I think about weather in a Commander's offense, I go, rats, we're not going to be able to throw the ball. Doesn't matter tonight. The name of the game, the formula for tonight, is establishing yourselves up front. And I think the weather being what it is actually works in Washington's favor. I truly do believe that. I think the weather, give me a torrential downpour. I want it nasty. I want it nasty out tonight. I want thunderstorm. Give me everything. Give me everything for tonight from a weather standpoint. Doesn't bother me at all. The one area that I do worry about a little bit is this. Does it impact the stability of Jaden Daniels in the knee? Does the weather tonight impact the stability of Jaden Daniels in the knee? I know it's not going to stop this offense from moving the football because they're a ground-and-pound attack, but does it mess up the footing of Jaden Daniels? Does it mess up the footing of the wide receivers? Does it mess up the continuity and the timing of this passing game? That we'll have to wait and see for, but I do know the running game should be on full display coming up here tonight. I mentioned they have a chance to build some momentum tonight for the first time this year. When you think about the weekend that was, when you think about the start to week six in the NFL, you got a gift on Thursday night when the Philadelphia Eagles completely vomited on themselves on national television. As we get geared up for tonight, Washington has the opportunity to leave tonight tied atop the division, rather, in the NFC East. That's the opportunity you have here tonight. If Washington walks away victorious tonight, they would share a 4-2 record with the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, the Eagles would still be in first place, I believe, because of the conference record being 3-1. But if you're the Commanders, knowing the history of this division over the past 25 years, now you're really in position to where you can start to gain some steam, gain some traction in terms of this NFC East fight. But you have a big opportunity tonight to build some momentum for the first time this year. The other reason to me this is a gotta-have-it game, you want to keep up in the division race, and you want to stay even with Philadelphia. But two, when you look at the next stretch of games for Washington, when you look at their next five contests, tonight's the easiest of the next five. You got to get tonight. Because let me tell you what, Stephen Jones is already talking about next week who's coming back for Dallas. They're going to have Tyler Booker. They're going to have CeeDee Lamb. They're going to have the Northwest Field Turf Demon, as I'm calling him, Kevontae Turpin, the guy who ripped our hearts out last year, the last time we saw the Dallas Cowboys. So tonight is paramount. You got to get this one. Tonight you're home for Chicago. Next week you're at Dallas. Then you're at Kansas City on a short week. And if you saw the way that they looked last night, go ahead and put a fork in Pat Mahomes and company if you're stupid enough to do so. They will prove you wrong each and every time. But you're at Kansas City on a short week. You're home versus Seattle, who's kicking ass and taking names up front. They're not the most sexy group on paper. I don't think the rest of the National Football League is hip to just how good that group is. And it's not just about Clint Kubiak and Jaxon Smith-Njigba and Sam Darnold. They are getting after people defensively. They are the best pass rush in the National Football League right now. You got them. Then guess what? Guess who you finish up this five-game stretch with? Oh, the Detroit Lions, who are mad as hell that you came into their home field last year and ripped their guts out. So you got to get tonight, because if you don't get tonight, we got to start to question, well, are you serious as a contender in the NFC? We'll get you an official prediction a little bit later on in the show. But as if you haven't had enough of them, I decided to bring in our pal Chris Russell back into the fold here, because I was saying it to you as I was walking in the studio. I haven't gotten my fix of Chris Russell yet today. I didn't listen to a lick of your show because I wanted to do this right here on air with you. You're as honest as – you get a lot of crap for being not a homer, for telling how a T.I. is, like I like to say.
Yeah.
People think you're biased. People think you hate the program.
Yeah.
I just think you're brutally honest. What does your gut feel tell you about tonight?
My gut feel tells me that it's not going to be as easy as some fans think.
I could have – I mean, if we had a Chris Russell action figure that we got to press the back of it on game days, you would start with that every time.
The problem is again, some fans, as I like to say, live in a shoebox of analytics.
What do you – oh, that's a new one. I haven't got to steal that yet.
Can't find their way out, right? Yeah. I mean, so I've heard all week long about the Commanders' number one rush offense, which is true.
Yeah.
Versus the Bears' worst run defense, 6-plus per – true. Guess who's also heard about that?
The
Chicago Bears.
Guess who's had 2 weeks to prepare for this?
Guess who's had 15 days off to prepare?
Yeah.
Guess who, and you know this because you played football. I mean, you've told me you would have been in the NFL if not for tearing your ACL.
Wasn't for a bad senior night, baby. Who knows where this life would have taken
you. You wouldn't be here. I mean, instead, we're the lucky ones.
Yeah, right.
But anyway, you know this about athletes, right? The Bears are going to give up plenty of rushing yards tonight. That's not what this is about. But they're averaging allowing like 165 yards per game, 6-plus per carry. I think like tonight will probably be 130 to 140, meaning way less than what they normally have given up through four games. And again, remember, they've only played four games.
Right.
They haven't played in 15 nights because they're rested, because they're getting some of their guys back, right? They got a couple of decent linebackers in Edwards and
it's Jermaine Edmonds.
Yep. Right. And Edmonds, right? And sure, they're missing Grady Jarrett. I don't know how good Grady Jarrett is at this point. I don't know if he's ever come back from
I'm worried about Andrew Billings in the middle. Well, that's okay. The big boy that I'm worried about.
And that's the thing. Now, are you going to tell me that when they play man defense that Jaden Daniels is not going to be able to rip some yardage off? Of course he is. Are you going to tell me that Bill is not going to be able to get to the perimeter and do what he did on the two touchdown runs against the Chargers last week, the touchdown run on Monday Night Football against the Bengals in preseason, which was the opposite side, getting to the edge virtually untouched and then turning it up with quick cuts in the backfield, so on. Of course he's going to do that. I don't think the Commanders are going to be shut down. I just don't know if they're going to go hog. I don't know if they're going to go ham sandwich. They've run for 200-plus rushing yards in each of their two home games. I would be willing to bet tonight, while everybody thinks that they're going to just run for 250, 225, 200 plus, I would say, if I was making this bet, I would say 150 or less.
How does that impact this football game is the big question. I think if that doesn't happen and they don't have this big, monstrous rushing performance, I think it puts more pressure on their defense. Time of possession is the name of the game tonight. We've seen Washington go hurry up as much as any team in the National Football League. I think they do it tonight not to get off this super high volume of plays. I think they do it tonight to maintain possession of the football. That's going to be key. And we're going to talk about this as we roll throughout the show. I know they did it last week in L.A. against the Chargers, but how can you trust this Commanders defense through the first 5 weeks of the season? We all know the numbers. They've been terrible giving up explosives. They've been terrible against the pass. Will they be able to right their wrongs coming up tonight? Will they be able to string together back-to-back really good performances? Because as we'll tell you as we're all throughout the show, two stats that absolutely knock your draws off, Chris Russell, and we don't want to see you without your draws off.
No,
we don't.
No. I would imagine with your outfit today that you have like
burgundy gold-colored draws on, too.
I was going to say.
I'm repping it today. Yeah. I get to be a fan on game day. I'm embracing it. Caleb Williams leads the NFL in time to throw. Yep. He's also the fourth least sacked quarterback in the NFL.
He's only played four games, so keep that in
mind. Those numbers are a little bit skewed.
But I was talking about that on my show that you didn't listen to, that Caleb, right, we all associate Ben Johnson with, hey, man, Caleb's getting the ball out faster, this, that, and the other thing, not getting sacked as much. Well, he's not getting sacked as much, yes, because they bolstered their offensive line significantly.
It's a good group.
And, yes, Caleb is doing a better job. But statistically, if you look at the 17-game average from last year, I think Caleb was at like 2.93 time to throw.
And he was the most sacked quarterback.
17 games and was the most sacked quarterback. This year, he's like 3.17, far and above any other quarterback in the NFL in time to throw. Now,
and he's not getting sacked.
Okay, but time to throw can be good and bad if you're the Commanders.
For sure.
Because bad, he's rolling away from pressure, he's running away from you and breaking down coverage as it takes longer and longer to hold up.
Right.
Or good in that you're chasing him and you're just putting so much heat and so much pressure on him that he's got to throw a ball across the middle of the field off his back leg with bad mechanics and he throws one up for grabs, right? So that is a thing that I'm wondering. And then you look at, and I know you're a big analytics guy, right? So I looked this up because I remember this from last year. They were really quick off the ball last week, getting pressure quickly on Justin Herbert and a really bad Charger offensive line, really beat up Charger offensive line. This is not that offensive line, but the Commanders were really good at getting pressure. What did they say? Like 2.25 seconds or less, nine times.
One of the league leaders
in the Chargers game, right?
Well, last week,
Times. Their highest of any game this year for the Commanders. So what I'm saying is, if the Commanders can find a way to generate that quick pressure against Caleb, even though if he sees it, he can rip it, and then maybe somebody misses a tackle in space or whatever, I think that's better off than letting him hold on to the ball, letting him drift, letting him break down coverage, and letting him then make a play because you're asking your DBs to hold up for 4 or 5 seconds.
An impossible task against this really special group of wide receivers. I'm going to call it what it is. Well, Roma Dunze, yeah. Luther Burden, DJ Moore. I mean, they've got the horses on the perimeter. Olamide Zaccheaus, who Ben Johnson talked about, name dropped him during the press conference. It's going to be a difficult task for this Washington Commanders defense tonight. How do they get it done? We'll tell you that next on the Team 980. Our keys to victory. What does Washington have to do to ensure they get their first winning streak of the season tonight against the Chicago Bears? That's next on the Team 980. It is a game day here on the Team 980. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app. You tap the end of the youngest in charge, Lanelle Willingham, alongside Anthony Haney, taking you up to 6:30. At that point, myself and Denton Day will bring you the Burgundy and Gold pregame show, getting you warmed up for Commanders and Bears, a massive Monday Night Football showdown tonight. Washington with an opportunity to get off of the roller coaster. That's what I'm on right now. Can they get off the roller coaster tonight? In three out of the first 5 weeks of the season, they've looked one way. The other two, they've looked totally different. Can the real Washington Commanders please stand up? That question hopefully gets answered tonight in primetime against the Chicago Bears. Me and Anthony were hashing over these numbers before the show started. The Commanders have a 9-2 record at home under Dan Quinn. Something that, and when you told me, it didn't seem real, but then I had to go back to last year and think, damn, we won the most games we ever seen in our lifetime. So probably the record should be what it is. With the opportunity to go 10-2 at home tonight under Dan Quinn, I think that is massive. Is it fair to say that we have a home field advantage to this point? Another sellout crowd, all black. They're going to do the big, cool light show before everything starts. Do we have a home field advantage to this point?
I think that still remains to be seen because, again, like, even in some of these games.
Another data point tonight.
Yeah, we still see, you know, the opposing team's fans. Like, they still get ahead on the tickets and buying them early. So I think until, you know, we have, like, a black, like, tonight's going to be a blackout. So I'm expecting to see a lot of black shirts. But we're probably going to see some orange. So
there are, look, I see some Bears fans roll around this weekend. So
I have, too.
They are here. I'm surprised I'm a little bit more bullish on it. I think we do have a home field advantage. I think last year, even in the home games that you lost last year, remember in that Steeler game, and that's the one that's kind of fresh to my mind for whatever reason, how many times we got teams to false start or get delay of games. Like, that's our dudes making it a tough place to play, making it a tough environment to play. If you win tonight, though, and you're 10-2, at home under Dan Quinn, I think that's fair to say you may have a home field advantage. They got to get it done, though. How do they get it done is what I want to touch on right now. You can begin to line up on the phones at 301-230-0980 to give your keys to victory tonight for the Washington Commanders to improve to 4-2 on the season. But more importantly, maybe not more importantly, but also 10-2 record at home under Dan Quinn if they can get it done tonight. My first key to victory, very, very key. Very key, probably the most important key. Get after Caleb Williams. You have to, you have to, you have to. And when we have these conversations about not knowing who the real version of the Commanders is, to me, that conversation starts and finishes with this pass rush. In three out of the first five games, this pass rush has been hell on wheels, gangbusters. They ate the Giants offensive line alive. They swallowed the Vegas offensive line. And then last week against the Chargers, belt to ass. 9 quick pressures, the most in the NFL in week number 5. So this pass rush in 3 out of the first 5 weeks has shown up. Will they show up tonight is the big question. And it's not going to be easy, right? These numbers, we were kind of getting into it with Chris Russell. Caleb Williams is pressured at the 4th lowest rate in the NFL. He is sacked at the 4th lowest rate in the NFL. But when he is under pressure, he is a different guy. And I think that's every quarterback in the National Football League. But the numbers are kind of staggering. To think that he is pressured at the 4th lowest rate, sacked at the 4th lowest rate, yet leads the NFL in time to throw, those numbers do not necessarily jive with each other. But that, to me, is not my number one key. Will you be able to get after Caleb Williams tonight? Because if you can, they become much more human as an offense? Because I'll be real. It hadn't been talked about a lot because we're drinking our own Kool-Aid fresh off the big dub out west. This Bears offense is legit. They can score. The run game's not there, but they've got a decorated group of wide receivers that can get it done if you give Caleb time. To me, that is my number one key. My number two key is this. Will you be able to stay ahead of the chains and play clean football? That's the determining factor here tonight. Staying ahead of the chains, playing clean football. The bottom line is this: through the first 5 weeks offensively for Washington, they have been as advertised. They're the fifth highest scoring offense in the NFL. We know the numbers about the run game, the absolute best in the National Football League. But they're really lacking in one area, and that is their inability to sustain drives. They are 29th in the National Football League in terms of third down conversion rate. That's got to change. You don't convert third downs tonight and you continuously put this Commanders defense on the field. It's no disrespect. I know people are listening right now because it's a home game. Everyone's driving it. I mean no disrespect. But if your offense can't sustain drives tonight, this defense doesn't stand a chance. I promise you. If you leave them out to dry and continuously ask them to get stop after stop after stop because you can't play clean football, you can't sustain drives, your defense is going to get exposed. The part that hurts the most about their inefficiency on third down, it's not because of poor play, so to speak. They've just been sloppy. They have, first and foremost, the most third and long situations in the NFL. These numbers come in from our friends at SumerSports.com. The Commanders have the most third and seven plus situations in the NFL. It's not because their offense just sucks on first and second down. It's because of the penalty situation. Holds, illegal shifts, illegal formation, all of that has killed this Washington offense in terms of their ability to consistently sustain drives and to consistently convert on third down. They've got to get that going here tonight. And then my third and final key is this. If you were the Washington Commanders, if nothing else happens tonight, right, by hook or by crook, through hell or high water, establish the run and control the clock. We all know what the numbers are. You are the best rushing attack in the National Football League through the first 5 weeks. The Bears are the worst rushing defense through the first 5 weeks. So it seems like, right, you should be able to flex your muscle and go in there and punch the Bears in the face. If you could do that, you should have no problems tonight. And I say establish the run slash control the clock because of what I just mentioned previously. You have to win the time of possession tonight. I know Washington runs as much hurry up as any team in the National Football League. It's not about the volume of plays that you get off tonight. It's about how long you can possess the football. Can you play complementary football and give your defense a blow? Because guess what? They're going to need it. 301-230-0980 is the number right here on this game day edition of the Burgundy and Gold today. Taking your calls right now on this, your keys to victory for the Washington Commanders. 301-230-0980. We'll take your calls next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, you have to make sure you take one more step to them. You know, you can't just assume that you're going to get them down with any arm tackling. You have to get your body to him because he has a tremendous kick through where he can pull his legs out. He can, big guys fall off of him. So, you know, not only do you have to cage him, but you have to make sure you're bringing extra bodies to him.
That is the defensive coordinator of your Washington Commanders, Joe Witt, talking about how important it is to maintain that rush integrity when trying to rush Bears quarterback Caleb Williams, one of the most elusive signal callers in the National Football League. This Commanders defense going to have their hands full here tonight as they try to make it two in a row, looking for their first winning streak of the 2025 season. They'll try to do so tonight in prime time against the Chicago Bears. We'll take you up to 6:30 here tonight before myself and Denton Day get you warmed up for Bears and Commanders with the Burgundy and Gold pregame show right here on the Team 980 as well as on 106.7 The Fan. Taking your calls, though. 301-230-0980 is the number. Your keys to victory for the Washington Commanders. Leche in Maryland. What's chiming in? What's going on?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so the keys of victory to me is it's all about up front. We have to protect the quarterback. We have to open up the run lanes. Same thing on offense, on defense. We have to get that push up front on defense and get to Caleb Williams, put pressure on him, put heat on him, and also special teams. We lead the league in, I think, kickoff return yards. We got to try to get as much as we can in the return game.
I totally agree with you, man. It's going to have to be one of those nights where you play complimentary football to get your first winning streak of the season. Appreciate the call, as always. And I know whenever we talk about keys, I think it's very easy to, you know, have the same keys each and every week because it feels like there are just some axioms of football that are always going to maintain the same. You have your football mantras that you go by. Your keys to victory for tonight against Chicago.
My keys are definitely going to start out with what Joe Witt was just talking about in terms of rushing, Caleb Williams with, you know, rush discipline and gap control. I think his ability to not only use his legs in the pocket, but if he's able to get outside of the pocket as he did last year, you know, he can be a little dangerous. Like, he had 9 rushes last year for 47 yards. He had a game earlier this season against the Vikings where he went out there and had 58 yards on the ground. Last week, we gave up, you know, 60 yards to Justin Herbert. Granted, 41 of those yards was on one run. But still, like, QB's abilities to, you know, get out of the pocket on us would be the biggest concern for me. So just making sure we push the pocket, keep him in there, and then forcing him to beat us from the pocket.
I think it becomes even more important when you consider the breakdowns and coverage that Washington has had throughout the course of the year. If you allow him to get outside the pocket and make plays off schedule, he is going to burn you. He has got the 7th highest QBR in the National Football League when he escapes the pocket. So it's what he does. It is his bread and butter. And it's kind of why I think why I compare him to one Patrick Mahomes and talk about how he has these Mahomesian-like traits, man. He is a special, special dude at the position. And I know that we had this conversation hot and heavy last week about how good is he, is he worth the number one overall pick in a redraft? And it's going to draw a lot of flack for what I'm about to say. I think he's the most talented quarterback Washington's faced this year. I think he's a more talented quarterback than Jordan Love. I think he's more talented than Justin Herbert. I would argue that their situations are just a little bit better, and they're obviously a little bit older. But he can make every throw. He can kill you outside of the pocket. He makes you defend every blade of grass as a defense, and that is what scares me the most. When you think you have him contained, when you think you have him under wraps, he sneaks out of the back door, and the next thing you know, it's a chunk play for 35 yards. And any defensive player would tell you this. Imagine you're covering, doing your job, and 4 and 5 seconds go past. And then, boom, it's a 39-yard completion. That is a backbreaker for a defense. That is mentally draining. It is exhausting. It is a confidence breaker. So what Ant said is 100% correct. I don't care about, and we said this last week, the play doesn't care who makes it. I don't care about getting the sack. I care about keeping him contained and then ultimately getting him to the ground. Doesn't matter who does it. It can be Jacob Martin. It can be Johnny Newton. At the end of the day, walk away with a victory, and we'll give you your flowers the next day here on the show. Get him down to the ground. That is what scares me the most about tonight. So the fact that you made that, like, one of your biggest keys is huge. That's my biggest fear for tonight, is that they are not going to be able to keep him corralled. They are not going to be able to pressure him. And this is no disrespect to Southeast Sean, Mikey Saver still, the entire defensive backs group. If your front four, and I'm going to take it a step further. If Joe Witt, putting it on him at this point, if he cannot find ways to consistently manufacture pressure against this kid, this defense is going to be in trouble. Bottom line. Now, to Joe Witt's credit, what they've got going for them is I actually believe they can get after him. I think they're going to blitz. I think they're going to run their sim pressures. But if you don't get after him, it's going to be a long day for the secondary.
I think the point you just made about scheming pressure, I think that sort of kind of falls into what I was saying last week in terms of,
yeah,
you know, he doesn't see it as well as, you know, a guy like Jaden.
Right.
And this is the Jaden versus Caleb thing that we were talking about. So even last week when we were playing Justin Herbert, he was having trouble, you know, figuring out what Joe Witt was, you know, scheming up. And it was also our guys being able to, you know, hold their water and not, you know, show too soon.
Not so, tip your hand based off hard count, stuff like that. I think that's a hell of a point because while I think Caleb is more talented than Justin Herbert, I don't think he's better than Herbert from the neck up. And to Anthony's point, and I think Joe Witt mentioned this in his opening monologue last week, they made some, like, drastic schematic changes after the first two possessions. They went a lot more zone. They were running the sim pressures. They were running more stunts up front. Like, that stuff is going to be huge for tonight for the Washington Commanders. And I'm not saying this to try and scare anybody. I'm not saying this to try to make you, you know, nervous about tonight. The bottom line is this, though, man. If you can't pressure him, it's going to be a long night. And this would have been the same case last week against the Chargers. There were plays on tape. For all of you that think that Washington, yes, they pitched a shutout for 45 consecutive minutes. I give them that. But there were coverage busts that happened last week, but your pass rush was able to overcome it. I don't know if they'll be able to overcome your coverage bust tonight because this Bears offensive line is quite literally one of the best in the National Football League by every statistical measure. Time to throw for Caleb Williams. He's one of the least sacked quarterbacks. He's one of the least pressured quarterbacks. Tonight is all about this front four and their ability to get home. But I'll also give you this number as well. The Chicago Bears, their two most used personnel groupings, right, is 11 personnel and 12 personnel, right? That's what the Bears want to live in. They live in their one tight end look. Why is this pulling up this way? Yeah, they live in their one running back, one tight end, three wide receiver look a lot, 47% of the time. Their second most used grouping, though, is 12 personnel. So they've run 118 snaps out of 11. They've run 97 out of 12, meaning they're running 12 personnel just as much as they're running the 11 personnel. Why do I bring that up? Who was the unsung hero last week? The guy that we were all of a sudden praising, saying, hey, can I get more of him? Is Jordan McGee. The Bears are going to run your two and three tight end sets as much as any team in the National Football League. How does Washington combat their 12 personnel? Is it taking a DB off the field and replacing him with Jordan McGee? Well, last week that seemed like a good-ass plan. Last week that seemed like that worked for them because Jordan McGee, when blitzed, was shot out of a cannon. And when you're talking about masking or disguising coverages and finding ways to confuse Caleb Williams, start sending linebackers. Get matchups, get favorable matchups with their pass rush. That, to me, is another key. When you think about how good they've been this year, and I still can't get over it, it is super ironic. When you think about he's number one in the NFL in time to throw, meaning he's holding the ball longer than any other quarterback in football, yet he is the fourth least sacked quarterback in the NFL. Teams aren't getting him down. There are three other starters in the National Football League that have been sacked fewer. Aaron Rodgers, Bo Nix, Michael Penix. So you got to get after this kid. And if you do, you should be able to have some success. 301-230-0980 is the number right here on this game day edition of the Burgundy and Gold today. Linnell Willingham, Anthony Haney taking you up to 630. We got a lot more to do before we get you warmed up for Bears and Commanders with myself and Denton Day. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, 530 on the nose, our pal J.P. Finley going to join us live from Landover. We'll get his thoughts on what the Commanders need to do to get their first winning streak of the season coming up tonight against the Chicago Bears. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, game day staple here on the Burgundy and Gold today. I'll give you my Tuesday morning headline. What are the papers going to read tomorrow morning after the Bears and Commanders lock horns tonight? That is next on the Team 980. 301-230-0980 is the number here on this game day edition of the Burgundy and Gold today. You're tapped into the youngest in charge, Linnell Willingham, taking you up to 6:30. At that point, myself, Denton Day, getting you warmed up for Commanders and Bears with the Burgundy and Gold pregame show right here on the Team 980 as well as on 106.7 The Fan. Remember, if you have not been following us on Burgundy and Gold game days, what the heck are you doing? Myself and Denton Day get you warmed up with the Burgundy and Gold pregame show. Then we're live on YouTube beginning at the two-minute warning all the way through halftime. And then we're back with you for the post-game show as well, starting at the two-minute warning, going about 40 minutes after the final whistle. So make sure you keep it locked on the Team 980's YouTube. Make sure you keep it locked on 106.7 The Fan's YouTube. Each and every Burgundy and Gold game day to hear myself and Denton Day. Right now, I want to do a staple that we do here on the Burgundy and Gold today. Our Monday morning headline. Now, because we're playing on Monday night, it is our Tuesday morning headline. What will the papers read after tonight's massive showdown between the Washington Commanders and the Chicago Bears? And I'm going to let you start us off here. And this is really your wheelhouse, being a Syracuse Orangeman, knowing how great your pen is. Writing a lead, writing a headline, it's just right in your wheelhouse. What is your Tuesday morning headline?
My Tuesday morning headline will read, Commanders poised to win NFC East. Bill Kroski merit shines.
Wow. If the Commanders win tonight, we mentioned this right at the start of the show, they would be tied atop the NFC East with the Philadelphia Eagles. That tiebreaker, if the season ended today, would go to Philadelphia because they have a better conference record than the Washington Commanders. But to Ant's point, and we mentioned this earlier, in terms of the importance level of tonight, seismic, huge, massive. I'm almost willing to call it a must-win. I'm almost willing to go as far as to call it a must-win because, one, you got to get off this roller coaster. You can't be this Jekyll and Hyde group all season long like Nick Ackridge says you're going to be. Nick Ackridge thinks that you're going to be 500, 8-9, 9-8. And obviously busted Nick's chops because I thought that was, when we, you know, used that audio last week. Really good point he made. It's hard to predict what they're going to be moving forward because they've given you no level of consistency throughout the first 5 weeks. Tonight is that opportunity. Can you get off of the roller coaster? If you don't win tonight, you think you're going to win at Dallas next week? You think you're going to go to Kansas City on Monday night? At this point, if you don't win tonight, I don't know if I can take you seriously as a contender in the NFC. And if you've peeped social media, I think you're one of the 7 or 8 teams that can win the Super Bowl. So prove me right tonight. That's what I'm hoping for. Maybe that should be my Monday morning headline. The Commanders prove Linnell right. 301-230-0980 is the number. I want you to line up on the phones with your Monday morning headline. What will the papers read tomorrow after Washington and Chicago locks horns tonight? I'll give you one. My Monday morning headline, my Tuesday morning headline, is going to be Commanders improve to 10-2 at home under Dan Quinn while continuing to be the bullies of the NFC. That's my Monday morning headline.
Hey, too many letters.
Too many letters?
Yeah, too many letters.
There we go. The Orangeman always going to keep me in check. No, it's what it is, though. And I keep tripping off of the fact that, like, they're 9-2 at home under Dan Quinn. Like, that is – I would have to look this up. Or maybe we both can try to look it up. And, like, the best stretch of home football in the 2000s for the Commanders, maybe right now. So, like, that's the – number one thing I get to thinking is like, damn, when I hear 10-2 at home under somebody, it screams consistency, right? It screams culture. You're not going to come into our house and beat us under Dan Quinn. I love it. I honestly do. That's why my Monday morning headline was what it was. Commanders move to 10-2 at home under Dan Quinn while establishing themselves as the big bad bully of the NFC. Your Tuesday morning headline, you can tweet at me with it. It is at NELL_BTP. Man, I can only imagine what the conversation is going to be like on social media if Washington doesn't walk away with a win tonight. A loss tonight would be such a gut punch in terms of where we think this group is headed, what this group has showed to this point. And I don't even want to talk about the possibility of a loss because I don't think it's going to happen. But damn, you lose tonight, it's hard for me to take you seriously as a real deal contender in the NFC. 301-230-0980 is the number. Your Tuesday morning headline. What are the papers going to read tomorrow morning after Washington and Chicago lock horns tonight. My Tuesday morning headline is this. Commanders improve to 10-2 at home under Dan Quinn while establishing themselves as the bully of the NFC. Our guy, Athan in Annapolis, tweets at me and says, tomorrow's headline will read, Chicago bears down to the Burgundy and Gold. Seems like Athan feels a victory coming as well. Let's get to our guy, Alex, wanting to chime in. Alex, your Tuesday morning headline.
My Tuesday morning headline is, the Skins will go into business as the NFC East leaders. Okay, this is not the 85 Bears we're talking about. Let me ask you this. Who would you rather have, Mayfield or R85? And the reason I'm asking this question is because Baker Mayfield, he's been bouncing around the league. But he's doing it right now. He's the hottest quarterback, in my opinion.
For sure.
And he's doing it with number 5 and number 4 receivers. And we're kind of in the same boat. Only the difference is JD is much accurate, and he knows how to protect the football. And, I like it. I like our chances. Now, next week's game is a tough one. I'm not going to be lying. Next week's game is a hard one. But tonight's game, we should be able to win, and the headlights just said the Bears are down, and they are who we
They are who we thought they were, says Alex. Appreciate the call, as always. 301-230-0980 is the number right here on this game day edition of the Burgundy and Gold today. Linnell Willingham, Anthony Haney taking you up to 630. Taking your calls right now on this, your Tuesday morning headline. What do the papers read come tomorrow morning after the Bears and Commanders lock horns? 301-230-0980 is the number. So our guy Amateur Ludus tweets at me and says, Linnell, top two tiebreakers for the division is 1, head-to-head. Washington hasn't played. Division record. Wow. So can we fact-check this? And someone tweets at me and says that the top two tiebreakers for the division is 1, head-to-head, and Washington hadn't played Philadelphia yet. And then 2, they go to division record. Washington's 1-0. Eagles are 1-1. So if the Commanders win tonight, they would be atop the NFC East?
Yeah, we would.
Wow. Well, there we go. 301-230-0980 is the number. Let's go to Steve in Laurel. What's up, Steve?
Hey, what's up, Neil? Hey, this is going to be tomorrow's headline. And the run starts today.
Mm, strong. Now, is that pun intended or no?
Oh, that's the truth, man. Yeah. We're going to take them. This game not going to be close. Everybody think it's going to be close, but I think we're going to show off today. We're going to run the ball, and we're going to throw it. We're just going to beat them up all over.
I hope that is the case, Steve. Appreciate you as always. 301-230-0980 is the number. In about a half hour, we'll check in live from Landover at Northwest Stadium, where we find our pal JP Finley. We'll get his thoughts and ask him the same question we're asking you at 301-230-0980. Your Tuesday morning headline, what will the papers read tomorrow after the Bears and Commanders lock horns tonight? We'll take your calls on the other side. Plus, we'll get into this. What does this Commanders defense need to do tonight to earn your trust? We'll chew on that on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere. It's the Team 980.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
301-230-0980 is the number here on this game day edition of the Burgundy and Gold today. You're tapped in to the youngest in charge, Linnell Willingham, alongside Anthony Haney, taking you up to 630. At that point, myself and Denton Day will get you warmed up for Bears and Commanders with the Burgundy and Gold pregame show on 106.7 The Fan, as well as the Team 980. You can check us out on YouTube as well. Each and every Burgundy and Gold game day, you can check out myself and Denton Day. We're live starting at the two-minute warning all the way up through halftime. And then we're with you at the two-minute warning until about 40 minutes after the final whistle for the Burgundy and Gold postgame show. So plenty of different ways to check us out on a Burgundy and Gold game day. 301-230-0980 is the number. Taking your calls on your Tuesday morning headline. What are the papers going to read tomorrow morning after the Bears and Commanders lock horns coming up here tonight? My Monday or Tuesday morning headline was the Commanders improved to 10-2 at home under Dan Quinn while establishing themselves as the bully of the NFC. The more and more we think about the Tuesday morning headline, I begin to get the sick feeling of what happens if the Washington Commanders somehow lose this game here tonight. We'll chew on that scenario as we roll throughout the show as well. Right now, though, 301-230-0980, your calls with your Tuesday morning headline. Casey wants to chime in. What's up, Casey?
Hey, what's going on, Luke? My Tuesday morning headline, he's a Jets Bill. I think we got to start the shows out tonight, just like we had a star last year. It was a rookie who showed out. I think Bill comes out tonight, shows out, lets the league know who the rookie of the year is. And yes, I meant it.
I'm about to say, sorry,
Emeka.
Look, your phone cut out for a hot second. Repeat your headline again. I didn't get you all the way.
He's just Bill.
He's just Bill. Okay.
He's just Bill. Tonight he introduces himself to the NFL with the Mecca Mbuka out for a little bit. I think he's going to end up being the rookie of the year.
For sure. Last year it was Monday Night Football with Jayden, where he had his coming out party. This time around, it could potentially be Bill. I think it will be Bill. So we got a couple of injury notes to pass along to you. First and foremost, the Commanders have already officially ruled out Sam Cosmi for tonight with a knee injury. The other piece of info that we have to pass along is this. Chris Rodriguez was listed as questionable heading into this Monday night's game. The Commanders have already announced their practice squad elevations. It'll be Tay Martin, who has been elevated the last two games because of Washington's injury situation at wide receiver. They also are elevating Ja'Cory Brooks, the undrafted free agent out of Louisville. Had a really, really strong training camp and strong preseason for the Washington Commanders. I had him on my final 53. He didn't get the chance to make it. But the fact that he is getting pulled up, I initially thought, well, damn, does this mean that Deebo Samuel in his status for tonight is somewhat in jeopardy? But no. We found out from Lisa Salters that Deebo Samuel is going to give it a go tonight. Because they called up somebody else, I immediately began to think, well, damn, does this mean that Chris Rodriguez is out? And if Chris Rodriguez is out tonight, you're going to see a lot more Bill Merritt. If Chris Rodriguez is out tonight, I expect Bill to get 20-some carries. So that, to me, is where my thought process shifted with this. I would say that it's more the Ja'Cory Brooks elevation, more of a Chris Rodriguez thing. More of a Chris Rodriguez thing, not a Deebo Samuel thing, as Lisa Salters told us that, hey, yeah, he's going to be able to give it to go tonight. He's been on the injury report with a heel, has not practiced at all this week, but is going to give it a go for the Washington Commanders. And real quick, if they had to be without Deebo Samuel, woof. 301-230-0980 is the number. Your Tuesday morning headline. What are the papers going to read tomorrow morning after the Bears and Commanders lock horns tonight? Our guy Duntel in Frederick wants to chime in. What's going on?
What's going on, youngest?
What's going on, brother? How are you?
You know what it is. You know what it is. It's game day.
Yes, indeedy.
Yo, so when you wake up tomorrow and you pick up the paper, this is what you're going to see on the headline. Daniels uses rifle to shoot down Bears.
Mm. Getting violent with us. I dig it. How do you think Jayden Daniels ultimately performs tonight? A little bit of weather that he's having to deal with.
I think that's what's going to fool everybody. I mean, everybody's expecting, you know, Kroski Merritt. And I think Kroski Merritt will do his thing because I think Cliff will give him his touches. But ultimately, it's going to be Jayden. It's going to be put on Jayden's back again.
I hope that's not the case. Duntel is the best way that I would put it. I appreciate the call as always. 301-230-0980 is the number to give your Tuesday morning headline. What are the papers going to read tomorrow after Bears and Commanders lock horns coming up here tonight? I do want to get into this defense as we roll throughout this 5 o'clock hour. J.P. Finley going to join us live from Northwest Stadium coming up in about 20 minutes or so. But, and we were discussing this before the show started. Is there anything this defense can do tonight to earn your trust? Is it putting together back-to-back good performances? Is that as simple as it is? Because I'll be real, the only concern I have about this game tonight, I don't think the Bears can stop us. I'm going to put that out there. And I know the game is deeper than just numbers. But the numbers tell you that this Bears defense isn't going to be able to run with us based off of what their biggest weakness is and what our biggest strength is, and that is establishing a line of scrimmage on the ground with the run game. That's not what worries me, though. It's this Commanders defense. They have looked like hot garbage in 2 out of the first 5 weeks. Anytime they've gone up against a formidable, respectable opponent offensively throughout the first 5 weeks, it's been bad. Will that continue tonight against Chicago, or will we get back-to-back good performances from this Commanders defense for the first time?
My optimism level is sky high. I think the defense is going
to... Hold on. Is that just a game day feeling?
No, it's not a game day feeling.
Okay. I know how I get on game day.
Even though the Bears have been really, really good on third down, I think this is a game where they go out there and prove to, you know, everyone that we can get teams off the field on third down. The Chargers last week, 9 for 16, wasn't acceptable, but a lot of that was also in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Where they had that long drive. So I think this game, I think they're gonna understand how paramount it is to, you know, get Caleb off the field. So I think that's what's gonna happen tonight.
To Ed's point.
That was your question. How do they gain our trust?
Yeah.
Go out there and prove to everybody that you can get teams off the field on third down.
Yeah, it has been the strength of this Bears offense throughout the first 4 games of the season. They are 4th in the National Football League in terms of third down percentage. It's all about first and second down, though, with them. Like, it's crazy because their offense is one of the most penalized group. I think they are the most penalized group in the league in terms of pre-snap penalties. Yet they're 4th on third down. Like, those numbers, like, don't compute. They don't add up. Doesn't make sense. I think for me, when it comes to this Commanders defense, I've kind of accepted that the back end is going to be what the back end is. What I can accept is this pass rush being so Jekyll and Hyde, being so wishy-washy. Because, look, they've got a lot of resources invested in that pass rush. Dorrance Armstrong's got a pretty hefty contract. Javon Kinlaw got $15 million this year. Deron Payne, one of the highest-paid DTs in the National Football League. You brought in Von Miller. You brought in Jacob Martin. They have tried to revamp and retool that group. And through 5 weeks, they are getting their return on their investment. Through 5 weeks, they have looked really damn good. Can you string together back-to-back good performances for the first time this year as a defense? That is what tonight is about. We opened up the show talking about this. Can you get off of the proverbial roller coaster? I'm tired of it. I'm tired of not knowing who this group is. And it's so crazy how everything kind of comes back full circle. It feels like we're in the offseason once again. Because what was the conversation all offseason long? We trusted that this offense would handle their end of the bargain. The big question was about this defense. And that's what tonight is about. I know what the Commanders are going to give me offensively. I know that. They've earned the benefit of the doubt with me. They have enough time on task. They've earned and built up enough credit with me. This defense is rolling around with a credit score lower than mine. They got to earn it. And when I talk about the defense, I know everyone's going to point to the secondary. That, to me, is not what it's about. It is about this Commander's front four. It is about this Commander's front four. Can you handle the pressure of being the group that determines success or failure for the defense? Because that's what it is. In the first 5 weeks of the season, this front four, their ability to get after opposing teams' quarterbacks, that has determined whether or not they've had a good defensive performance or not. And I want to take it a step further. Like Ant mentioned earlier, it's not just about the front four. I look at the defensive coordinator, Joe Witt Jr., smack in his eyes and go, brother, you going to be aggressive tonight or you going to sit on your hands? You going to call a game to win tonight or you going to call the game not to lose? I need him to call it to win. Go get after Caleb Williams. They should have these numbers pinned up all across the damn facility at Big Bear AI in Ashburn. Caleb Williams takes the longest time to throw out of any starter in the National Football League, yet there are only three starting quarterbacks that have been sacked fewer than him throughout the first 5 weeks of the season. That's got to change here tonight. Pressure bust pipes. Can you bust the Bears' pipe tonight is a big question. 301-230-0980 is the number. How can this Commanders defense earn your trust? Is it putting together another good performance tonight? Is it getting after Caleb Williams? Is it bringing him down a certain amount of times? Do you trust this Commanders defense tonight heading into primetime against the Chicago Bears? 301-230-0980 is the number. When we come back, I want to get into some of the numbers surrounding this Washington Commanders pass rush, a group that through five games just hasn't been consistent. That's next here on the Team 980. 301-230-0980 is the number here on this game day edition of the Burgundy and Gold today. We tapped into the youngest in charge, Linnell Willingham, alongside Anthony Haney, taking you up to 6:30. At that point, myself and Denton Day, we get you warmed up for Commanders and Bears with the Burgundy and Gold pregame show. Right here on the Team 980 as well as on 106.7 The Fan. You can see our handsome faces as well live on YouTube. Drop some comment in the chat. And then join us back on YouTube, starting at the two-minute warning in the first half, all the way through halftime. And then, starting at the two-minute warning in the fourth quarter, we'll take you up until about a half hour, 40 minutes after the final whistle for the Burgundy and Gold postgame show live on YouTube with myself and Denton Day. So we've got wall-to-wall coverage tonight for you of the Commanders and Bears matchup on Monday Night Football. A huge, huge opportunity for the Washington Commanders to get off of the roller coaster. It has been, if I could use one word to describe 2025 for the Commanders at this point, it would be inconsistent. You played well in the opener. You wet the bed on Thursday Night Football. You played well at home against the Raiders. You went to Hotlanta and got the brakes beat off you. You came out of Hotlanta and then put your foot up the Chargers' ass, outscoring them 27-0 in the final 45 minutes of the contest. So the big question that I continue to ask here tonight, who are the real version? Who is the real version of the Washington Commanders? Are they the group we saw in L.A. Sunday against the Chargers? Or are they the group that went to Atlanta and got embarrassed? That's the big question. And as I posed that question to you, do you think they're closer to the version that we saw against the Chargers, or are they closer to the version that we saw against the Falcons?
I mean, maybe
or the somewhere Chargers, in the middle.
I would say the Chargers, just because, again, like, it was early in the season. Like, again, a lot of that was September, bro. So I think Joe Witt, he was still, you know, trying to figure out who his personnel was, what was best for the personnel. Like, September was more so, you know, getting a feel for the game. And then, like, October, November, December, that's when you start to, you know, actually see some consistency amongst, you know, the players playing together. And then also, Joe Witt will know what works best for his guys. So, like, playing in a ton of man clearly was not working well. No. So, I think that's why he's resorted more to zones and zone blitzing, you know, using different personnel to also, you know, send blitzes. So, I think that's more so like what we'll see. So I think the Chargers is what I would say we're more close to seeing.
So here are the numbers that kind of strike me. Last year, the Commanders blitzed at the sixth highest rate in the National Football League. This year, through 5 weeks, they're blitzing at the 11th highest rate in the National Football League. I want them to get more aggressive. That is what I think the key is for this Commanders defense. Will they be the aggressor? Will they, in the best way that I can describe it for Joe Witt, are you going to call the game to win or are you going to call the game not to lose? Because you can get pressure with four all you want, and here are the numbers. And every time I read these damn numbers, it don't make no sense because I've watched the games. the Commanders get the fourth most pressure with a four-man rush in the National Football League. And when I watch the game, it doesn't feel that way. No, I get it, right? Those numbers may be a little skewed because Dorrance Armstrong, where he ranks amongst the pressure leaders in football. But, like, with these numbers, Washington should never have to send more than four. We should never have coverage busts because you should be able to leave seven guys in coverage more times than not, yet they haven't been able to. That's the frustrating part, right? That's the frustrating part, man. And it goes back to kind of what you were talking about in terms of man coverage, zone coverage, having a variance in those packages. The Commanders are like middle of the pack in terms of how often they run man versus how often they run zone. And I know that's not who they want to be. They want to be a defense that lives in man-to-man coverage. They want to be a defense that can get up close, get your face at the line of scrimmage, and reroute guys. That's the other piece of this thing that when you go back and watch the tape from the Chargers game, it's an area where I thought they did really well, Marshon Lattimore in particular. He had to reroute guys, right? I get some people just want them to play more press. People are complaining about how far our corners are lined up off the line of scrimmage. That doesn't even bother me because you can't walk up and then not reroute guys. That's the number one thing that this secondary, I think, needs to be better at is rerouting guys off the ball, not letting guys get free releases. Because I'm going to tell you what, when you're talking about DJ Moore and Rome Odunze, the route is lost within the first three moves. Straight up, DJ Moore is not beating you with long speed. He's beating you with his release. And with Marshon Lattimore in particular, he can't recover. He doesn't have the speed at this point in his career to recover after getting beat at the line of scrimmage. Trey Amos does. I think Mike Samra still does. But if one guy can't do it, you know what I'm saying, then you can't ask everyone to do it. That's the difficult part here. But I think with tonight, and we've talked about it all year long about how rush and coverage marry together, tonight it's not on Marshon Lattimore to me. Tonight it's not on Mikey Samra still or Trey Amos. It is on this pass rush. And I'll take it a step further. It's on Joe Witt in this pass rush. Because if you're not getting home with four, are you going to sit on your hands and twiddle your thumbs and wait for them to get pressure? Or are you going to dictate how this game goes? That would be my thought process. I'm running. I'm disguising coverages. I'm changing the picture post-snap. And I am trying to heat Caleb Williams up. Point blank. Point blank. I am trying to pressure Caleb Williams however I can, whether it's sending four, whether it's sending six. That's the key to me tonight. Can you make him uncomfortable? Because if you can't, we don't have the guys in the secondary to cover their skill guys. We just don't.
Do you want to heat him up for the simple fact that he's not able to, you know, see the field as well? Or, like, what's the reasoning for wanting to heat him up?
I'm glad you asked me that. You know how to get the best out of me. I want to heat him up because I want him getting the ball out of his hands as quickly as possible. I think the longer he holds it, the worse off we are as a defense. Point blank. You can't hit these explosive chunk plays down the field if the ball is coming out quickly. And I know this because I got the Anthony Haney scouting report last weekend. He's not very accurate. So if you can get the ball out of his hands quick, there'll be times where he skips the ball to the wide receiver. He is what we call a rhythm thrower. He needs to be in rhythm. How do you get in rhythm? You pat the ball a couple of different times before you throw it. So I think if you can heat him up and force the football out of his hands quickly, you're not going to be susceptible to the big play. Because to me, if you're Chicago, the number one way to unlock your big play potential, it's not about – I don't see Rome Odunze and DJ Moore and Colston Loveland and Cole Kmet coming out and just breaking a bunch of tackles from our guys. I see them being able to get behind our defense with double moves and things of that nature. Something that I'm actually surprised we didn't see from the Chargers last week. And maybe that was a byproduct of them not trusting their protection. But Atlanta crushed us with the double moves. Green Bay crushed us with the double moves. So I expect with 15 days to prepare, that's why I'm scared. If I'm being honest, who do I think, and this is the best way to put it without me being like biased. Let me just ask you straight up like this. If Joe Witt Jr. had 15 days to prepare and Ben Johnson had 15 days to prepare, who do you think does better or more with their 15 days?
Probably Ben.
Ben has had 15 days. Joe has had what? Eight. We'll see who wins that matchup. Someone tweeted at me earlier. I didn't read it. I'm going to read it right now. I got Eddie D. tweeted at me and says, tonight will come down to scheme. Which coaches have a better scheme? Green Bay and Atlanta had a better scheme in play calling. Specifically, the running scheme for the Commanders will dictate the flow of this football game. Yes, it will. About 3 hours away from kickoff from the Chicago Bears and the Washington Commanders from Northwest Stadium in primetime under the lights on Monday Night Football. We'll take a trip out to Northwest Stadium coming up on the other side of the break. Our pal J.P. Finley joins us next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
About 3 hours from kickoff of Bears and Commanders coming up on Monday Night Football. It is a game day edition of the Burgundy and Gold today. Linnell Willingham, Anthony Haney taking you up to 6:30. At that point, myself and Denton Day will continue to get you warmed up for Bears and Commanders with the Burgundy and Gold pregame show on 106.7 The Fan, as well as right here on the Team 980. Right now, though, I want to go out to the guest hotline for the first time this show. Our pal J.P. Finley dropping us a line as he is out at Northwest Stadium getting geared up for Commanders and Bears. JP, are you staying dry out there, my friend?
Varying levels of success. It's definitely wet. It's definitely windy. I don't know that it's going to hold through the game like this, but I think from a straight football perspective, the wind would be the bigger factor than the wet. It's more of just like a persistent drizzle. Like, it's more like annoying rain than it is impactful. But the wind is swirling, man. So something to kind of keep in mind, especially, I mean, more and more of these kickers take long field goals. So
very true.
Something to keep in mind, yeah.
What's the atmosphere like out there, man? Are people already starting to tailgate? I saw you tweet out a picture. Some dude was out there 7 hours before kickoff. I know people are nuts about this thing. JP, I don't know if you knew this number. Washington wins tonight. They improved to 10-2 at home under Dan Quinn. Do you think the Burgundy and Gold faith will do their part tonight?
I mean, dude, the thing that matters to me most, they win tonight, they're tied for the division, right? I think they win tonight. Beavis got mad at me about this earlier. I think they win tonight, but I'm worried about Dallas next week.
JP, this is why you know ball, brother. I'm on the exact same page with you because Dallas has a kick-ass offense and a kick-ass offensive line. But go ahead.
But whatever. Let's worry about tonight first. The atmosphere here is pretty good. I'm just walking down on the field right now. There are a bunch of Bears fans and some guy dressed up like Lex Ditka. players are just starting to kind of come out, do their warm-ups. The equipment staff's walking around with the green dot helmets, testing those. So it's early. I mean, dude, when you said it in the intro, there were 3 hours till kickoff. Kind of made me realize how long I'm going to be here. But I expect an awesome atmosphere. They're giving away these there's multiple guys dressed up like Mike Ditka. How about that?
Well, there we go.
they're giving away. They do them for like concerts. They did it last year in Detroit from the divisional round, where everybody gets this little light attached to their wrist, like a little bracelet with a light on it. And I do think Rare Essence is performing live out in Legends Plaza right now.
Well, there we go. We got some go-go bumping. It's a vibe tonight at Northwest.
Yeah, dude, I think the blackout will work. The fans I see so far, it looks like everybody's wearing black. And, you know, the ownership has invested pretty good stuff here. You know, college stadiums were the ones that like first did this, where after a score or a big play, they do this crazy stuff with the lights. So I think there'll be some of that tonight, which should look pretty cool for a night game.
Super duper excited for it. Let's get into some of the X's and O's, JP. I have my concerns about this Commanders defense, despite what they did last week out west against the Chargers. Caleb Williams leads the National Football League in terms of time to throw, yet he's pressured at the fourth lowest rate. And amongst the starting quarterbacks in the NFL, he's sacked at the fourth lowest rate. Do you trust this Commanders pass rush to handle their business tonight? Because that, to me, is the key.
I agree with you, that being the key. Dan Quinn said a few different times, everything starts with Kinlaw and Payne. And I think it's vital for Washington to get pressure and to get pressure with their front and not have to rely on the blitz.
Yeah.
We'll see if they're able to do that. Certainly, in the wins, their front has been really good. In the three wins, their defensive front has set the tone. In the two losses, they've lost in a lot of scrimmage and eventually lost the game poorly. And they're really poor defensive efforts. Caleb will go off schedule if you force him to, and that's to their advantage. He's been really good, though, against the blitz. I think he deserves credit for that. I think working with Ben Johnson has been helpful with him for that. So you've got to generate pressure from the front. Armstrong's been really good. I'd like him to be really good today. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I always say this. There's a cottage industry of people making lots of money to convince you how complicated football is. The reality of this sport is if you win in the line of scrimmage, you're going to win the game.
Pretty much. Joined right now by our pal J.P. Finley. You can check him and B. Mitch out weekdays 10 to 2 on 106.7 The Fan. And then starting on November the 3rd, you can check out the fellows on the Monumental Sports Network as well. Congratulations to you two for that, J.P. I want to get to this Washington offense. And the big conversation this week, to me at least, has been their inefficiency on third down. They're 29th in the NFL on third down. To start the year. If they cannot sustain drives tonight, I think it puts this defense in a bad spot. JP, when you go back and look at it, when you think about Washington's shortcomings on third down, is it an execution thing or is it more to do with some of the penalties that they've gotten pre-snap?
You know, it's hard to kind of summarize it with any one thing, especially through five games. One quarterback starts two of them, another guy starts three of them. They really... Some of the games where it's been terrible on third down, they've been unable to run the ball. So then you're in bad down and distance. The penalties haven't helped either. You know, a guy that really helps on third down is Zach Hurst.
Yeah.
He hasn't really been too involved the last couple of weeks, so you'd like to see him be a big part of the game plan tonight. They're aware of it. I think you don't have Jaden for three games is going to impact your third down numbers. Yeah. But even in the L.A. game where they played really well for – three quarters of that game, they still weren't great on third down. So this offense is best when it's in rhythm. That requires first downs. That means you got to convert these things.
As far as who is going to get the bulk of the load in the backfield tonight, how do you see that the carry split shaking out here? We know Chris Rodriguez has been nicked up, hadn't practiced all week, has been on the injury report. Do you expect that to equal more Bill?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's twofold. One, C-Rod's been on the injury report. But two, Bill has earned more opportunity. I think anybody that watched last week especially, you got to give that young man the ball. Last week he finished with 15 touches, I believe. I think you'll still see definitely McNichols tonight. But, yeah, I think Bill has earned to get more and more of the work. I think they're still challenging him to be better off the ball, right, and pass pro and blocking and all those other things. But you got to – the kid's electric with the ball in his hands, so you'd be crazy to not – I mean, I'd like to see him closer to 20 touches, honestly.
Yeah.
Maybe that's like 15 carries, 4 catches. But, yeah, Bill's got to be a factor. I'm watching McNichols warm up right now. I haven't seen Chris. I saw Bill walking in. I haven't seen him out on the field yet. But, yeah, dude, Bill has proven – he can get it done in this league with more work, and I think they'd be crazy not to do that again tonight.
I know this was brought up this past week when DQ addressed the media. Jordan McGee last week played his career high in snaps, was super impactful. You can see him, super speedy guy that looks like he shot out of a cannon. The play speed is what they really love about him. Was that game plan specific, you think, JP, or are we going to see more of him tonight because the Bears – run as much 12 personnel as anybody, allowing for Washington to match with that third linebacker?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Chargers
had a lot of multiple tight end sets, and that was part of it. I also think organizationally they've been talking about McGee since the summer. I mean, they liked him last year, and he's gotten some injuries. So I think some of it is game plan, but I also think similar to Bill, it's prove your worth and your number gets called, and I thought McGee did that last week, and I'd expect to see a healthy dose of him again tonight. Now, we're not talking Bobby and Frankie are going to stay on the field.
Yeah.
I think you see more of that 4-3 look, and I think it worked for him last week.
All right, JP, we'll let you go with this, my friend, because it sounds like a madhouse there at Northwest Stadium. Your prediction.
A constant sound check down here.
I'm about to say it's been raucous thus far, but what do you think is the how do you think tonight plays out? Your final prediction for Bears and Commanders? Do the Commanders get off of this roller coaster or what?
Yeah, I think Washington wins tonight. I think they'll be ready for the bell, and I think they get a good dub tonight, and everybody's focused on Dallas. You know what I mean? Like it's an important game for Washington to kind of reclaim their role in the NFC. You know what I mean?
There we go.
And I think they got to get this win.
Look, I agree with you. My Monday morning headline, JP, is Washington established themselves as the bullies of the NFC. Run the damn ball. Run the damn bill. That is our pal JP Finley joining us live from the very noisy Northwest Stadium. JP, we hope to hear from you soon, my friend.
Well, no, that's a Tuesday morning headline.
you're right. You're right. That is JP Finley giving us some time live from Northwest Stadium. Holy hell. That was so loud. Hopefully it means you all are going to be loud out there. About 3 hours away from kickoff, from the game of the year for the Washington Commanders. Washington looking to put together their first win streak of the season and then improve to 10-2 at home under Dan Quinn. And as JP mentioned, more importantly, with a win tonight, the Washington Commanders atop the NFC East. 301-230-0980 is the number. Want you to begin to line up on the phones for this. Burgundy and bold. Your bold predictions for Monday Night Football. Commanders and Bears. Washington looking to put together their first win streak of the season. Give me your burgundy and bold prediction for tonight at 301-230-0980. Your call's on the other side. 301-230-0980 is the number. Here on this game day edition of the Burgundy and Gold today, Lino Willingham, Anthony Haney, taking you up to 6:30. At that point, myself and Denton Day will get you warmed up for Commanders and Bears with the Burgundy and Gold pregame show live on YouTube on 106.7 The Fan, as well as the Team 980. And then at halftime, we're starting at the 2-minute warning of the first half. We'll take you all the way up through halftime live on YouTube, myself and Denton Day, as we do each and every Burgundy and Gold game day. And then at the 2-minute warning of the fourth quarter, we'll take you up until about 40 minutes after the final whistle for the Burgundy and Gold postgame show live on YouTube with myself and Denton Day. Super duper excited for that. Super duper excited for kickoff. We've been talking about it all show long, man. The Commanders with a massive opportunity to get off of the proverbial roller coaster that they've been on, man. 3-2 record through 5 weeks of play, and they have not strung together consecutive wins yet to this point. Do they do it tonight? We'll tell you that coming up in about a half hour when we get you our official predictions. Right now, though, a game day staple here on the Burgundy and Gold today. We're calling it Burgundy in Bold, your bold predictions for Monday Night Football against the Chicago Bears. I'll kick us off with this. You got to go back to December 30th of 2012. That was when the Washington Commanders won the NFC East, and it was kind of the beginning of the end of Robert Griffin III as well. My burgundy in bold prediction for tonight against the Chicago Bears. Bill Kroski Merritt, is that you? Yes, it is. I think Bill Merritt breaks the Commanders' single-game rookie rushing record tonight. It was set on December 30th of 2012 by Alfred Morris in his 200-yard performance against the Dallas Cowboys. He did that on 33 carries. I think Bill Merritt does it tonight. I don't know if he gets 33 carries, but I do think he goes over 200 yards tonight. I think it is a big Bill Merritt night for the Washington Commanders on offense. The Bears have the worst rushing defense in football. The Commanders have the best rushing offense in football. I think Big Bill has a big night for the Washington Commanders.
Mr. Linnell Willingham, my burgundy and bold prediction, you usually don't give me a lot of credit for my
Well, because you know, we don't slack. Come bold. And I didn't come as bold as I should have, if I'm being honest.
My burgundy and bold prediction is Quan Martin will have a second consecutive game with a turnover. Last week, he forced a fumble.
Mm-hmm.
This week, he gets an interception.
Wow. Quan Martin season, says Anthony Haney. 301-230-0980 is the number. We want your burgundy and bold predictions. Your bold predictions for tonight's Monday Night Football contest against the Chicago Bears. A game in which, if Washington wins, they would be atop the NFC East through 6 weeks of play. AP wants to chime in. What's up, AP?
What up, Linnell?
What's going on, brother man? How are you?
Look, I'm on my way to Howard China. I'm about to give you some chicken wings and mumbo.
There we go.
You know.
There we go. Doing it the right way.
Get the pregame scene, Washingtonian meal on deck. And then, look, I told Ant when I was on hold, my bold prediction going to be that I'm starting the Washington defense tonight, man, because I got a feeling they going to ball out. So I'm looking for Sarah Steele. I'm looking for Quan.
I don't know if you bold or crazy, hey, AP. I told you. Hey, see, you I'm can't bold. Come with a bolder prediction than Anthony Haney. That's bro, where I draw the line. You think you're good. Starting their defense in fantasy? What the hell is wrong
I'm
with you?
Starting them. Hey, because, hey, look, it was either them or Detroit.
And well,
you know what happened to Detroit.
Well, you may have picked right. Look.
Hey.
Man.
And then my opponent got Roma Dunze, so I'm looking for
the defense. Wow. Okay. So you think it was your heart and your mind, AP. I dig it.
Hey, both of them.
Your prediction for tonight, how do you think it goes?
Hey, my prediction tonight, I'm gonna do a score prediction. I'm gonna say Washington 35, and I'm gonna say because I got Washington defense starting Chicago 17.
There we go. You heard it from the man himself, AP. We appreciate you, brother. Hopefully your prediction comes to fruition. 301-230-0980 is the number. Your burgundy and bold predictions. What happens tonight between the Commanders and the Bears? I gave you an offensive bold prediction. I think Bill Merritt breaks Alfred Morris's rookie rushing record for the single game. To think that Alf ran for 200 yards is actually kind of crazy.
It was 200 flat.
200 flat is what it says, yeah. 200 flat. So hopefully Bill gets the opportunities to do it. I think he will because I think Washington will be in closeout mode at the end. He damn sure gets to 200 if C-Rod doesn't play, is what I would say. I think that guarantees it. I'll give you a defensive burgundy and bold prediction. I'll give you a defensive one. The Chicago Bears have scored 21 or more points in every game this season. Scored 21 against the Lions, 24 against the Vikings, 31 against Dallas, 25 last week against the Raiders. My burgundy and bold defensive prediction is that the Commanders hold the Bears to their lowest point total of the season. How do they do that? How do they do that? It's the big question. I think it's a similar recipe to what Ant had. Turnovers are going to be at a premium. I think Washington not only holds the Bears to their lowest point total of the season, I also think they score a defensive touchdown for the first time this year. I think Washington scores a defensive touchdown. My crystal ball tells me it is the man that moves slowest with the football, Bobby Wagner, coming up with a pick six, something he could have had last week. If you listen to the press conference from Joe Witt, Bobby Wagner had an interception. Should have had an interception last week, but didn't drop deep enough. I think he does it this week. I think he comes up with a pick six for one Bobby Wagner. And that's how you go burgundy and bold. And you gave us a defensive one. You have an offensive burgundy and bold prediction for tonight.
Offensive, not really. I don't think we're going to air the ball out that much today. So I think it's really going to fall in the hands of Bill Kroski-Merritt. So unless you want me to one-up, you want to come so, you know, the Bill Krosky mirror prop bets.
I actually got to go look. That's another thing we should start doing here on the show. Well, we should give out some props. Tell the people how to win some money, even though I don't gamble because I'm poor. But
here's one. Yeah. The Commanders score 5 rushing touchdowns tonight. Could be Jayden.
Why does that sound like something that's about to come to fruition? Because I can see them ripping the ball up in between the 20s.
On Madden franchise mode, sometimes your goals can be score 5 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah.
Score 5 passing touchdowns. Tonight could be one of those games where we actually have 5 rushing. It could be Jayden. It could be Jeremy McNichols. It could be Deebo Samuel. It could be Bill. Like, we have plenty of, you know, players that actually can, you know, get in the end zone.
So I'm thinking, I'm looking it up here. The last time the Commanders had 5 rushing touchdowns in a game, the last Commander player that had 5 or more touchdowns in a game was back in 1994, Ricky Waters.
Good gracious.
Against the New York Giants, January 15th of 94. That was a playoff game, too. So to go federal like that in a playoff game, Ricky Waters, shout out to you, homie. But damn, you're saying 5 of them things.
5.
It feels like we're, 4. It feels like we're due for a Jayden Daniels anytime.
We are.
I'm nervous about it, man. You know how I get. The closer and closer we get to kickoff, I get to scratching and itching. Voice get hoarse. Get nervous. Knees weak. Palms sweaty. I can't handle it, brother. And I haven't eaten yet today. That's what I got to get on. That's what I'm going to figure out between now and 8:15. What am I going to put on my belly? Final hour of power coming up. Final half hour of the program coming up as well on the other side of the break. We're giving you the opportunity all show long to line up on the phones. 301-230-0980. Your key Commanders. Who must play well in order for the Washington Commanders to win? We'll take your calls on that. Plus, we'll take your calls on your burgundy and bold prediction. What we're going to do on the other side is give you Nell's Super Six Pack. Nell and Ant's Super Six Pack. Our top 6 Commanders that we're putting under the microscope. Who must play well in order for Washington to get their first win streak of the season? That's next on the Team 980.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
301-230-0980 is the number here on this game day edition of the Burgundy and Gold today. You're tapped into the youngest in Charles and O. Willingham alongside Anthony Haney riding with you for about another half hour before myself and Denton Day get you warmed up for Bears and Commanders. We got the Burgundy and Gold pregame show coming up at 6:30 on 106.7 The Fan, as well as the Team 980. And then remember, starting at the 2-minute warning, we are live on YouTube on 106.7 and the Team 980 all the way through halftime. And then rejoin us with 2 minutes left in regulation. We'll take you up until about 40 minutes after the final whistle blows. Myself and Denton Day rolling with you hot and heavy here on a Burgundy and Gold game day. Want to get to our Super Six Pack, our top 6 Commanders that we're going to put under the microscope, who must play well in order for D.C. to get its first winning streak of the year. And I thought, how appropriate would it be for us to tag in our co-host here on the Burgundy and Gold today, Super Bowl winning tight end for your Washington Redskins, Rick Doc Walker. DLC will be with you tomorrow, breaking every angle down of Commanders and Bears. We have to. I was told by the super producer. Hello, Doc. First and foremost, how are you?
Hello, Linnell.
I was told by the super producer to make sure I get you to stick to the rules. We got 2 players each. You choose 2. I choose 2. Anthony will choose 2.
We alternate.
We're alternate.
Are you talking about the same Anthony that that I devoured
in the
picks?
No. We have the same record, Doc.
Okay.
Well, I'm not going to engage in that.
I don't even
want to
get involved in that anymore. It's no fun. I thought it was going to be challenging. You know, we'd be back and forth. It's no fun when you just win outright.
Yeah.
You know, it's
I
just
can imagine.
It's no competition, so.
Well, that's how I felt the first couple of weeks of the season, whipping Anthony's ass. So yeah. I know what you're talking about. I get you.
But you know, you guys, but I'm you're never too old to learn.
Yeah.
And that's what I say to all of my brothers that have a little gray in their beard now. Never ever look at something and say, "Hey, I don't get that." No, get it. Get in it. Put the time in, because you young people come up with some really pretty good things. I like it, and you're very entertaining. I like listening to the both of you. As long as it's not necessarily about winning, you guys are really good.
But when it, y'all
when just it, don't win it. I mean, it's like you keep winning. No, it's every, a lot of people win, but they're not champions.
Yeah, well, I get that.
Very quick, winning, champion.
Yeah, that's why we bring you in.
Look how many people go out for things, and they end up in second place, third place. Some of them don't even ribbon. They don't get nothing. And then there's an elite group.
Yeah.
That no matter what the circumstance, they find a way to win. They there win something. They win it. So, and that's what you hope that young people would.
Well, I can't help but rich, I can't help but notice the hardware on your finger.
Well, that's the sign of a champion.
Yeah, I figured. There was the lighting, the contrasting lights that we have in here and stuff.
It's a champion.
Let's get to it though. Okay. It is time for our Super Six Pack. You know what they call that, DLC? That's championship imaging. That's the imaging.
You're really good at that.
That's
really
the imaging of a champion. I'll kick us off here. Top six commanders that were put under the microscope. Since there are three of us, we're going to go 2-2. One offense, one defense from each of us. My offensive key commander, and you already heard this if you all listen to You Know Who and You Know What. But my offensive key commander, is actually, once again, Luke McCaffrey. Luke McCaffrey, my offensive key commander. Washington is going to have someone else in this wide receiver core step up. You're down Terry McLaurin and Noah Brown once again. Luke McCaffrey came up huge last week with a big 50-yard reception and really loosened up that L.A. Chargers defense. Will he be the guy once again here tonight on Monday Night Football? Because I know what I'm going to get from Deebo Samuel. I'm going to get about 10, 11 targets, 8 catches, 85 yards, a touchdown. Who is going to be the other member of this Washington Commanders receiving corps to step up? I think it will be Luke McCaffrey. Anthony, your offensive key commander that you're putting in this Super Six Pack.
I'm going with Josh Connerly Jr.
Yeah.
He's going to be matched up with former.
You know who?
Washington football, former Redskin, former commander, Montez Sweat. And while Sweat's production hasn't been all that, you know, good this season, I think he just has just one sack on the season. Like, they're paying that guy buku bucks to have that, you know, little production. I think stifling him, not allowing him to, you know, have a get-right game against his former team is going to be of most importance. And I think Josh Connerly, it'll be a good touch for him as well. Like, Sweat's long, he's fast, he's strong. So I think this could be good for Connerly early on in his career.
That's really game ready. I like that because it's a matchup. He was my favorite player on the defensive line here when they were selling all that propaganda about all the first round picks. And they didn't end up really, it didn't amount to much. It was far more publicity than productivity. But they all had talent.
Yeah.
And the law being the league a lot, but you didn't win. You went a little bit. I think they win the East once. You know, and that you can't discount it. But I like that. I'm a little surprised. One thing about Anthony, he really catches on.
He's a quick learner, isn't he?
Yeah, once just when I think that
it's something about those orange men. I don't know what it is.
Well, I do. I have a pretty good idea of it. I mean, they actually had to go to class.
Well.
You know, and not everybody can say that. And so it's I'll go with that. I'm staying on the offensive line. I'm not getting all the way from my O line, my left guard. I'm trying to find somebody that would be that'd be bigger. Who would I want to go with and be diverse so I can sound, you know, like the rest of you, but I just can't. Chris Paul, my guy. Yeah.
Chris Paul's got an easier matchup tonight. No Grady Jarrett. It'll be him versus Big Andrew Billings in the middle. That matchup going to be huge, man.
It don't matter. It don't matter. All I know is what I'm seeing him do now with the vice grips that he has. And I love all of them. I could have picked any one of them. It was going to be one of those five. One of the Fab Five was going to be my pick. And we'll see what happens.
So we haven't really talked about Grady Jarrett being out, but I really like Chris Paul.
Yeah.
As your pick, Doc.
I think it's...
That's cute.
They're having a love fest while I'm in here. I don't have time for that. Say that for Tuesday and Wednesday.
Some people need that.
Yeah. That word of encouragement.
There you go.
You got to know. This is why I know you're a good coach.
Hey,
man.
Doc, I'll keep it to myself next time. That's all.
That's fine.
No, because some people.
In other words, I know I'm right. So excuse me. I'm not guessing. I'm not going to sit up and go, oh my God. I wonder, am I doing the right thing?
Hey, Doc, I'm not going to be like Linnell and say we're the same person and we know ball. I'm not going to do that.
Oh, did you hear that?
Oh, he's laughing
at that. No, he slid that in. That was, you know, I've gotten a number of comments about that. And you know what it is?
You and something else, Slim.
I'm just saying. No, he said it. I said he's 27.
Well, no, I did say
it. And when he says the youngest in charge.
Yeah.
You got to understand what that means.
Yeah, come on, man.
I don't know what it means, but you have got to find a way to figure out what that means. But that brother said that, and I'm thinking, you know, 27 years. I just go.
Well, look, Doc.
I was trying to think of, was there anybody as I grew up and the people that were influential in my life, men like Mr. Moore, All-State guy, military, played ball, Division I, would I have, I couldn't even form a mouth to say that. You know what I'm saying? It's like me with Coach Thompson.
It takes gumption.
I'm talking with Coach Thompson.
Gall.
You know
what I'm saying?
And Coach might have been talking about a boxing one. He might have been talking about. And I go, oh, yeah. Like, and I don't even know how I would have said it.
But that's the difference. You didn't. I mean, you play high school basketball?
Yeah.
Okay. So, okay.
My error. No, it's nothing that I'm exceptional. My entire generation.
Yeah.
We weren't. You guys are. They singled it. Some knucklehead decided to make you guys specialize.
In one sport?
Yeah. We did every sport.
Yeah. I dig it. One half of our Super Six Pack in the books, our top six commanders that we're putting under the microscope, Linnell Willingham, Doc Walker, Anthony Haney with you here on this Burgundy and Gold game day.
Can I leave now?
We'll put a bow on the show coming up on the other side of the break. We each gave our offensive key commander. It's now time for our defensive key commander. Okay. There's only one man in Odyssey, D.C. that can get you to be coachable, and his name is the youngest in charge, Linnell Willingham. We'll finish up the Super Six Pack on the other side of the break, but first, let's get an update on the latest in the world of women's sports presented by Wawa. Gotta have Wawa. One final segment before myself and Denton Day take over for the Burgundy and Gold pregame show on 106.7 The Fan and right here on the Team 980. Wrapping up our Super Six Pack, our top six commanders that we're putting under the microscope who must play well in order for the commanders to get their first winning streak of the season. We all gave an offensive guy, myself, DOC, and Ant. I went with Luke McCaffrey. Ant went with Josh Connolly. The DOC going with Chris Paul. I'll kick us off here on defense. I told you the key to victory tonight is getting after Caleb Williams. How do you do that? Interior pressure. I know Dorrance Armstrong is the guy that leads the team in sacks and pressures, but Deron Payne, my boy, you are under the microscope tonight. Deron Payne has to win his matchup, dominate on the interior versus Joe Tooney, versus Jonah Jackson. It's going to be hard. It ain't going to be easy. They are a formidable inside trio. I think Payne, in order for Washington to win tonight, has to dominate that matchup. And who you got on the defensive side?
Defensive side of the ball, I think I want to go with Jordan McGee. I think you and JP talked about it earlier today. Oh, Doc, did I steal your guy?
Again, look at these two.
Did I steal your guy, Doc?
No, you should. I trained this boy.
Yeah.
I'm just like a problem, like his father. I feel proud whenever he does something that I was thinking about doing. We're on the same wavelength.
Great minds think alike. Yeah, must be the championship thing. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly.
It might be. But now I'm going with Jordan McGee. I think he's going to have an uptick in snaps today. Last week when he was out there, definitely was impactful. And I think this week, just because they play a lot of 12, 13 personnel, we could see more three linebacker sets. So yeah, Jordan McGee.
I'm going with Newton. Newton had a big block.
Yeah.
But it's also homeboy. The Bears, for guy Illini,
yeah,
that's family, home.
For sure.
It's huge for him
yeah.
to blow up against a team he probably wanted to play for.
There we go. Our Super Six Pack, we'll wrap it up here. Luke McCaffrey, Josh Connolly, Chris Paul, Deron Payne, Jordan McGee, Johnny Newton, the six commanders that must play well. It is prediction time here on the Burgundy and Gold today. The Washington Commanders looking to improve to 10-2 at home under head coach Dan Quinn. Also, with a win tonight, they would be atop the NFC East. No tie. They would be atop the NFC East because the tiebreaker would go to the Washington Commanders. I'll start us off here with our predictions. We did our burgundy and bold predictions. I said Bill Merritt goes for 200 yards. I said this defense scores a touchdown. I think tonight's game is all Washington Commanders. Give me the Washington Commanders 31-17 tonight. I think this offense comes out hot. I think they start fast, and I think defensively they're able to get after Caleb Williams. Whether it's sending four, sending five, they find a way to do it. Give me the Commanders 31-17 tonight.
I'm going Commanders 34, Bears 13. Damn. I think the defense is going to go out there and send a message, dog. They got something to prove. They got a chip on their shoulder. And I think, and I said last week, turnovers are fluke, and I think we're going to string together games where we're consistently getting turnovers.
There we go. DLC, your prediction. How do you see tonight playing out?
I don't know what I see run, but I don't know if the artist formerly known. I don't know, but I see 28 points, and I see 19. I don't think the Bears get 20. I don't think we get to 30. I like us to win it, but I don't see us that far.
You think it's a lot closer than what people are projecting?
Yeah, yeah. The Bears are not bad. They just don't know how to get out of their own way.
Yeah.
And somebody's going to want this so bad.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, I just think, yeah. But as long as we win,
yeah.
You know, I'm not a point. We win, and I'll go with the win, but I'll play the point game with you.
Well, there we go.
If we don't, I'm going to be really highly irritated.
Well, I'm about to say, either or, it's going to be appointment radio tomorrow when the DOC is in here 4-7, breaking down every angle of Commanders and Bears. That is going to do it, though, here for a game day edition of the Burgundy and Gold today. If you want to keep the conversation going with me on social media, it is at NELL_BTP. Burgundy and Gold game day continues next. Myself and Denton Day.
DD.
Bringing you the Burgundy and Gold pregame show. We're back with you at the two-minute warning all the way through halftime. Then we're with you at the two-minute warning in the fourth quarter all the way up until 40 minutes after the final whistle. You can hear Toby Altizer and the DOC, Rick Doc Walker, here on radio breaking down every angle of Commanders and Bears. Thank you to our pal J.P. Finley. Thank you to your calls.
Ears on?
We did have all ears
all right,
on.
All ears.
Thank you to the DOC, Rick Doc Walker. Thank you to super Hoorah. Producer Anthony Haney. We're back with you tomorrow right here on the Team 980. The Burgundy and Gold pregame show with myself and Denton Day comes your way next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.